Ahoy, ahoy, everybody, and welcome to the Talking Simpsons Season 2 wrap-up. I am Bob Mackey, your host. Who else is here today?
Dave Annoying DVD Menu Rudden.
Ooh. Diamond Dog.
Henry Butterfinger Commercials Gilbert.
And Chris Magazine. I'm sorry, I'm looking over my notes here. This is going to be more fun than you think.
And you Patreon people are our favorite child, secretly. Exactly. Don't tell the regular subscribers that we like you more.
Well, because we wanted to, like, after we were done with this, we were like, well, let's explore the special features of the Simpsons DVDs. And then, like, well, they're not all audio friendly, but, like, this is your special features. Bonus supplement. You watched it on TV for free. Why not pay for something?
I am most excited. I will not talk about what we're going to talk about, but I am most excited to get to something that I think few people have heard about. This very interesting nugget of history that just, it's on YouTube. It's been talked about, but it's so weird. And
I hadn't heard about it until you told me.
Well, we talked about getting some stats for it. Because, we just finished season two, and we're going to be talking about things that take place within the season two timeline. Like, let's say, 89 to, late 91, essentially.
From a production standpoint, it started... It was probably 90 when they... Early 90 when they started on writing season
The Simpsons was an instant phenomenon, period. Most things are slow burn. The Simpsons wasn't. So, they weren't ready for what they actually became. So that did take, 2 years. The Simpsons were instantly successful in 89, 90. And it took this long for the phenomena to reach its apex. T-shirts. I have tons of stuff. Tons of fun stuff for everybody.
Just a quick thing in history, some stats that... the most viewed episode of the season was the season premiere. Not too surprising. It had 33.6 million viewers, though it couldn't beat Cosby. It was up against Cosby. That was a big deal, too.
33
million viewers. Yeah, and that was not enough to beat Cosby.
That's second place.
And when they did it, I think we probably mentioned this on the first episode of the season, but that it was a big deal that Fox really wanted it to go against Cosby to be competitive, and this was their big move. We're so big, we're taking on Cosby. Meanwhile, the producers on the show, including James L. Brooks, was like, no, you're going to hurt the show. We're doing so much better just being on Sunday night. It was great for us. And the show would be on Thursday until season six. That's when it finally went back to the second season. They only beat... they beat a rerun of Cosby with Three Men in a Comic Book, the second to last, second to last of the season. But they didn't beat a first run Cosby until into season three.
And Cosby would end during the Simpsons' third season, correct?
Yes.
It ended in 1992.
Yeah. They knew when to walk away.
And also, this was the season they got their first Emmy, which was for Outstanding Animated Program, which was Homer versus Lisa and the Eighth Commandment. Mm. That is the one that won an Emmy, which I think is why Al Jean later talks on commentaries that Homer and Lisa episodes are usually the sweet ones that pull on the heartstrings and make you laugh, that they can get awards.
They rely more on the traditional writing of television shows at the time. I should say I'm drunk as fuck, and that's why this is patron exclusive. I only had a couple beers
because
we
care.
Haven't eaten anything and I'm slurring. I hate it. But the highest rated episode on the FXX Every Simpsons Marathon ever was Marge versus Itchy and Scratchy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it holds what would you do? Was there a highest rated episode this season?
That like I said, Bart versus it was Bart.
Season
Bart
premiere.
Gets an F.
Yeah.
Getting drunk, people. I apologize. other milestones I had, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, because what I do have for you, I guess I should tease it. I have some news clips, some public appearance clips, and commercial clips.
It's going to be good.
To show you how big the phenomenon is. But Simpsons merchandise. In their first 14 months, Simpsons merchandise generated more than $2 billion.
Wow. Yeah.
What?
And I don't think that's the case now, but I remember doing research on Garfield. Garfield at its highest would generate $1 billion in revenue a year.
Dear God.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably spent, my parents spent $500 on Simpsons.
$1 billion of that is on me for Garfield.
I had the Simpsons board games. I had at least three Simpsons shirts. I had the Simpsons calendar. I've had a Simpsons calendar every year of my life since the first one in 91.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Even now?
I got a 26. Well, now it's just kind of a sweet thing of I want it, but my mom always gets it for me. And it's just here it is, your yearly Simpsons calendar. It's just a sweet thing.
What I want to do, normally my job is to do This Week in Simpsons. Mm-hmm. So this is sort of this year in Simpsons.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. And what I wanted to look at to get a view of that was the amount of magazine covers this show was on. And I haven't seen anything else like this. Maybe South Park. Mm-hmm. Beavis and Butthead was... quiet, mm-hmm. then it blew up, and then it was accepted by the mainstream. But like, this was instant.
Yeah, I think South Park in what, 96 or mm-hmm. something, or 97 yeah. would be the closest to this.
I'm saying the ascent was instant, but I know like nobody at Time Magazine wanted mm-hmm. Bart Simpson on the cover.
No.
And it probably took like 10 Ooh. Months of being undeniable. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to tell you again, put Bart on the cover.
So many poorly drawn Simpsons characters on the cover. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
So let me see if I can go in order. I don't think I can. These are all like the December of 1990.
Well, that's when Christmas probably came around. And they realized kids were all asking for their Simpsons stuff. Oh yeah, did you guys also have the terrible, very heavy plastic bendy Simpson toys?
Yeah.
Like those are the first Simpsons
the worst.
Toys.
They
were
Playmates
horrendous.
Ones?
A friend of mine had those, and I didn't want them because they were so awful. Yeah. And they had these like word balloons you could like jam into their heads or something that said like "Don't have a cow"
and
or
you
whatever.
Had the Simpsons and two others. Nelson Muntz and the fucking television. That was
the
action
TV was
figure.
A character.
The TV
okay.
was one of the characters you could buy.
I had all of them. I had all of them. My parents really spoiled me with that. Well, I had Bart and Bartman, and then I'd have Bart would get beat up by Nelson, and then he'd turn into Bartman and then fight Nelson.
This year in Simpsons, at a glimpse of magazine covers, which one do I start with? I'll start with Mad Magazine. Mad Magazine had Bart on the cover. I remember this very specifically, a pink issue with Alfred E. Newman drawn. He's usually like his style was consistent, but he was drawn in Simpsons style. Mowing Bart's hair.
This could be my first issue of Mad Magazine. I'm almost positive it is. Yeah,
I know mine is like a year beforehand.
There might be a Roseanne parody in it, and if there is, it's my first one.
I think the first one I got around that time, around the same time, was remember when H.W. Bush vomited at that Japan thing? They had a cover, and it was one of the most disgustingly drawn covers of him throwing up on it. But it was I bought it. It was funny.
Mine was,
because...
was Alfred E. Newman on an ice float, and the parody. Inside the satire, the mad satire was 30 something.
Oh wow!
A show I've never seen one frame of.
By the way,
I've read that parody over and over again.
I think the Roseanne parody was called Gross Ann.
Oh,
it was so easy. It was so easy.
They did it. my sounds are.
Ooh, I like it.
Lovely.
So there's first Mad Magazine, but then what?
Mad Magazine, but also on the cover, and this is to highlight where we are in pop culture pantheon. Also on the Mad Magazine cover, shared a cover story. It says The Simpsons and Total Recall.
Wow.
And then at the bottom, contest giveaway. NES action pack with Spy versus Spy video game.
Don't play Spy versus Spy.
Don't play Spy
I'm warning
versus
you now.
Spy ever.
That's the first NES game I bought with my own money. It was a mistake.
I love all. So the rest of these magazine covers, these are like not. This is not humor. This is what's happening at the time. Rolling Stone in December of 1990 also had Bart on the cover with the headline "Bart's at home with Bart Simpson, underachiever or just a kid." Mm. So you know this is real journalism.
Oh, think piece. It's one of the first think pieces.
And but to show you they're also hacks, side stories, the stories beneath that on the cover, Midnight Oil Turns to Gold, the trial of Hunter S. Thompson as a violator, and of course, P.J. O'Rourke's Earth Day. What? P.J. O'Rourke.
I've heard those words before.
But not in that, but I don't know what that means.
But more importantly, Time Magazine, the last issue of 1990, is the best of the 90s, and Bart, it's White and Bart. That is it. He doesn't share the cover with anybody.
Oh, wow, because I know that I thought there was a Bill versus Bart cover on some magazine. Just Bart. He was the kid of 90. I would bet
it says the best of the 90s and Bart, and underneath the subhead. Yes, Bart, you made the list too, because we're Time Magazine and we take things very seriously.
It's weird that The Simpsons, the TV show, not the Tracy Ullman stuff, just briefly existed for like 2 weeks in 89, because it is such like a definitive 90s thing for me. Like, it is just like the 90s show, period. And like,
To show you how undeniable...
Not like the 90s show, the worst episode.
No, not like
show
that episode
ever.
At all.
It's Time Magazine. So to show you how undeniable it is, not the subhead, but like Time would sometimes put things at the very top of the thing, with like a very thin line above the masthead. And it's co-head Gorbachev's Darkest Hour. Gorbachev's Darkest Hour, Bart Simpson. And I believe it is the Cold War still happening. USSR still there.
Barely.
Until 91, I think. That's
I thought it ended when Reagan said to Mr. Gorbachev.
I will posit there's one more important magazine cover The Simpsons was on during that season. A place I used to work at, GamePro Magazine, had The Simpsons on the cover with a custom commissioned picture by Matt Groening. I forget what game it was, but I actually, I was at GamePro when they celebrated their 20th anniversary, and I was in charge of like putting together this kind of, for E3, like picking out 10 most influential covers, and I'm like, Simpsons got to be there. Simpsons has to be there.
I can guarantee Macarini did not draw that.
Yeah. Look at names on it.
Look at the Simpsons stamps. Those are his drawings of the Simpsons. They are so off model and in a fun way. Yeah.
He's joked that he would never be hired as an artist on the Simpsons.
Yeah, but it's also like, weird. Whatever he had in his contract, I don't think we'll ever see again that you have to put his name.
Yeah, I think
everything you draw.
I could never say his name until much later in life, but I remember just seeing Matt Groening on everything, and I'm like,
we'll hear from him later.
I think I knew it was Matt Groening when he appeared on, it was pronounced Groening, when he appeared on Space Ghost Coast to Coast in 96, 97, maybe.
I do not know, but Dave, I'm betting that was for a little game. 1991. I have a feature that nobody liked on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/LaserTimeNetwork, called Guess the Game Commercial. I put up a still that you can't, but you could kind of tell it's The Simpsons, but this is from our YouTube channel.
Bart! Go to bed!
Sure thing, Dad!
It's Bart versus the Space Mutants for your NES. Only Bart Simpson can save the Earth.
Bart! Okay,
Get The Simpsons game for your NES from Acclaim.
Bart!
Okay, so it's the first the first commercial for a Simpsons video game. It wasn't the first to market. The arcade game might have beaten it.
It was March 91, so I bet that beat it by
inside a couple weeks. Game itself on the Xbox 360. It says February.
I mean, like,
small markets in February.
What was a release date in 1991? Though it's like when the truck showed up. It was
the
release date.
Bart versus the Space Mutants. Garbage.
Okay,
all the Simpsons.
Let me talk about this briefly. I did a whole episode of Retronauts about it. Look it up. It's the one up run. If you
want,
have
to be brief about it.
Okay, I'll just spew on forever. But okay, it's not a good game. Mm-hmm. The first level shows promise. There are these fun adventure game elements. You can interact with the world. You can call Mo. You can do kinds of fun, mischievous things in the world.
Stuff.
Level two, a bunch of random shit flying around for no reason. Level three, a bunch of random shit. Just like they just spent all of their ideas and time on level one, and then the rest of the game is just random awful shit.
You waste your time on level one, as in like, well, it's probably my fault for not being able to figure this out. And the rest is just, this is a hard side scroller.
I mean, level one, it's like, okay, you have to either like hide or cover up the purple objects. Yeah. And every other level after that is like, oh, just collect things. Like there is no like interesting twist or adventure gaming mechanic.
I probably would have fondly looked back at that first level had I not been playing that game on a black and white TV in my room when I was a kid.
I heard the Genesis version is better, which how can it not be? But like that's how, when I worked at a gaming website, when I worked there, we did a list of the best Simpsons games ever, but it was first done by, they are all terrible, and ranking them is almost impossible because it's just like different grades of shit. But
arcade game is fun.
The important, well, there are two good Simpsons games, the arcade game and the Simpsons game.
It's Hit and Run.
Actually,
okay,
Hit and Run is great. Mm-hmm. The Simpsons EA one is terrible.
I dislike it.
All right, but anyway.
Dave and I played it recently. It's awful.
Worked on it, though, with a writer in England, and it's when I really got to know what it was like to be a British Simpsons fan, to get all the first three seasons at once, and that you don't get the gradation of watching one, then watching two, then watching three.
And it's like a phenomenon you don't have to wait for like more of, like we did. Like,
and it's the same
you
deal,
like this? There's 50 episodes.
And he didn't grow up with an NES. Mm-hmm. The NES was not very popular in England. The Mega Drive was. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, Bart's versus the Space Mutants is pretty good. I was like, what? But I never played the Genesis version. I only knew it. I mean, it looks better. It's not Bart isn't green. They made some better levels, I think.
I have my doubts.
I have some doubts, but I also, I think the list is okay. I don't even know if it comes
up. I do want to say I made this to specifically help out our foreign Simpsons fans because like they were part of a slightly different phenomenon. We'll get to that in a second.
I have one thing to add, though. Yeah. What I associate most of these early games is that so Danny Elfman's original score for the opening is a very complex, very Danny Elfman-y like song. The NES could not replicate that. So I just associate these games with the worst versions of that theme song that would just loop. The first level is just that song over and over again. It's terrible. Yeah.
Now the arcade game was a lot better.
The only one that holds up is like you could play this and not feel like your time has been wasted and your money been raped.
And while you can't buy it anymore, it was available on Xbox Live and PS3, PlayStation Network, and I mean you beat it in 20 minutes. It's a quarter gobbler. That's all it is. But I played it. One of my favorite birthdays ever was when my mom said, I will give you all the quarters you need. That's one of your birthday presents, all the quarters you need to beat this game. And so I played to my heart's content and finally got to see the ending. And
I did it for a friend's birthday.
Yeah.
I finished it at a birthday too. This is crazy.
Wow. Yeah, like the guy, like we ran, he's like, infinite credits. By infinite credits means he flicked the fucking token acceptor like 800 times And we still ran out and he had to come back and like help us out because we're little kids.
If it was your birthday at Fun N Pizza, Fun N Pizza, you got double tokens. So that's how I beat Simpsons Arcade. Because Mr. Burns, that boss, is just like a quarter gobbler.
It's ridiculous.
But I have to say that game, like,
you're
Konami,
wearing a Smithers boss.
I am. I mean, like, so I'm in the Dennis Miller ratio of ironic t-shirts. But like, that game is like Konami's best 2D artist. Yeah. Like, the characters are a little off model, but they're just these cutesy anime interpretations of the characters. And there are these weird touches that they had to know more than we think they know, because like when Marge attacks too much, her like vacuum cleaner gets stuck in her hair and it pulls out her hair to reveal bunny ears. And that was something Matt Groening wanted in the show from the beginning. So I'm like, how did they know that? It had to be like in some like story bible.
It's similar to the ascent of the Ninja Turtles. Like, Konami was working on the Ninja Turtles game before there was a show, and all they had to work on was like the notes, essentially, of like, here's what we hope it'll be. And I think that's partially what they were working on with The Simpsons.
That would,
like,
explain it.
Because I what I read about that, Groening wanted to reveal that Marge was one of a Binky from Life in Hell, like secretly underneath, and they were going to reveal that in the second season. He was talked out of it, but it was too late. It was already in the game, and he forgot about it.
But it was part of an era of Konami beat 'em ups, like TMNT, like the X-Men arcade game as well. And it was a great thing that it got to be re-released, because I think it was because on Xbox 360, the first Turtles game did so well as a like co-re-release by Konami and Ubisoft, that then they started re-releasing. Konami was ready to work with other companies to re-release their stuff, including, like, the Fox and Gracie Films logo is on the arcade release.
Well, it's sad that I know this having... That's all part of a marketing budget. So they, like, that's the only time the companies will end up working together, because no one wants to remake a game to make money off that game. But in terms of, like, EA wanted to help spread awareness of The Simpsons, so kind of, like, I think helped Konami get that off the ground, and that's what happens. That's why you got the X-Men games. That's why, like, and that's why they disappear immediately.
Yeah, I don't think you can buy it anymore. Yeah, that really sucks.
No, it's been delisted. If you bought it when it was live, you can still re-download it.
That's why I don't want to get rid of my 360, because I have the Simpsons Arcade on it. And
it's not like you can't emulate it.
That's true. Bart versus the Space Mutants. What makes, like, one, these commercials, looking at them now, and maybe we do have a video of it on our YouTube channel. They're beautifully animated and way out of what do you call, like, off model.
Yes, but in a fun way.
In a fun way.
Yeah.
Well, like, now there's this, and on the DVDs are the Butterfinger commercials. Three of the Butterfinger commercials.
We'll get there. All right, but
when they did the commercials, I feel like it was when David Silverman or the other high level directors, Brad Bird too, also on Do the Bartman. They were given way bigger of a budget, and they got to really do stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they got to do near theatrical level animation, because it was only 30 seconds. And that's when they got to really show off, like they did in the Space Mutants commercial.
The Bart versus the Space Mutants commercial looks good. Am I too drunk to say Bart versus the Space Mutants? Do I sound okay?
You said it okay. Yes.
Okay, we're on Patreon. You couldn't have just walked in here.
I'm only mildly drunk.
But it's the only commercial that has a sequel commercial.
Because,
like, within a year, there were two more games.
Yes.
Camp Deadly and Bart versus the World.
Oh, Camp Deadly. I'm the Wikipedia authority on that. I'm cited as an expert.
Wow.
Yeah. Please, I don't want to die with that.
We last left Bart Simpson battling deadly space mutants in acclaimed best-selling video game Bart versus the Space Mutants. And now it's Bart versus the World.
Wow.
As Bart Mania continues to spread.
Mow the lawn. I got better things to do.
He's not allowed to talk.
And now, portable Bart Mania in Escape from Camp Deadly for Game Boy. Bart Mania now comes three ways for your NES and Game Boy from Acclaim.
That's the whole
Escape
Simpsons.
From Camp Deadly might actually be the worst Simpsons.
It's really bad.
Yeah. Even worse than Space Mutants, both of these. And the funny thing is, the Space Mutants and Space Mutants do not look like the Space Mutants.
No.
They got that wrong. They're just people with green heads with, like, octopus tentacles coming out of them.
Space Mutants is such a simple design, it's so easy to get right.
Yeah.
It's so weird how much, like, the Space Mutants are leaned on, like, both in the eponymous game, but it's also a character that you beat up in the arcade game.
Yeah.
And then they were gone by season three. Like, nobody cared about
Space
Mutants.
The writers
anymore.
Got sick of those jokes, I guess.
The Space Mutants cover art is really great, though. It's like a They Live takeoff.
It's
I
amazing.
Want a poster of that. It's so good. And there's a great Nintendo Power poster of it, too.
Wait, just steal them and make the posters.
Oh,
no one else is going to
do There's already got to be a high res one of it out there.
That is like someone had to vector trace that or something at some point.
But you had mentioned it before, the Butterfinger commercial. We got a Butterfinger commercial this year.
Some dead meat on a stick.
How much money you got, Simpson?
$1.03, Mr. Bully, sir.
Give
keep the change.
Thanks, man.
Think I'll take that Butterfinger, too.
Think again, Nelson.
Get a crispity, crunchity, peanut buttery burst in every bite of Butterfinger.
Nobody better lay a finger on my Butterfinger.
So that's when the better seasons to DVD extras are three of those things in the best quality you're going
to
find.
Yeah. And it's what's even better about it. It's like, and again, I was shocked to find this out when we started doing the show, that this is the first Butterfinger Simpsons commercial since 1988. It aired in January of 91.
Oh, wow.
So they took three years off.
One that either James L. Brooks went to Butterfinger or Butterfinger went to the Tracy Ullman show to ask the Simpsons to... So one of those things had to happen, and I find it both bizarre. They were not a phenomenon yet.
So no. The first Nelson ha-ha wasn't until late in season two. That may have predated
Could
it.
Could that be the first ha-ha?
I mean, Milhouse premiered in a Butterfinger commercial in 1988. He was not on the Tracy Ullman show.
He did a laser time about like strange first appearances where we brought that up.
And not only that, like that what you just heard is the premiere of the catchphrase, nobody better lay a finger my Butterfinger.
Because
the last commercial before that was like 2 to 3 years earlier, and this is what Bart says. Yes.
Peanut buttery Butterfinger.
It's neato.
And it's neato.
It's neato. On that.
Yeah, you're sure right, Bart.
The announcer is even like, that's what we're going with?
Yeah.
It's neato.
Let's just say pure sugar. Your parents will hate it. Whichever, I don't know. Like
they advertise with them for so long. And the writer's like, I don't think we're fans of it, but it's a joke they talk about when Conan got hired that he became the Butterfinger BB salesman as a character in the room because when they started the BB's line, they just gave them a ton of free ones. So that's just more of the garbage they're eating in the writer's room and getting
the
fat.
The inside of a Butterfinger is the same color as Conan O'Brien's hair.
I worked at Capcom and they made a Sour Patch game. For about 12 months, I would just skip lunch and eat armfuls of Sour Patch
I would do the same thing,
all
Chris.
Day long.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I'd prefer those. I don't hate Butterfinger now, but when I was a kid, I would eat anything Bart told me to eat. But once I had one Butterfinger, I was like, this sucks. This is like below every candy bar I could have.
I'll eat more fingers. Yes.
After you eat it, Butterfinger, you have to spend the next 20 minutes excavating your teeth.
Yeah,
also,
that too.
When The Simpsons lost that sponsorship or whatever, they started making a lot of really great jokes about Butterfinger. In the quote-unquote bad seasons, there's a great joke where they're getting rid of the sweet and junk food in Springfield, and they try to burn the Butterfingers, but they won't burn it. I think Chief Kimmy goes, not even the fire wants it.
Not even the fire wants it.
That's one of my favorite jokes from that era.
I love that biting the hand they feed.
Yeah. Someday I've tried to collect like every Simpsons commercial because like... they're all different in every territory. Mm-hmm. And we will get in those in a second. I want to get this out of the way. Because we had the shitty, shitty bendable action figures. And I
those
think,
are awful.
Which I didn't even want. And then like all of a sudden someone else was offering the first Simpsons doll. This commercial opens with Bart and Lisa playing. Lisa's playing with toys. Bart attacks her with a gun.
I hope you realize that playing with guns is an obvious cover for your male inadequacies.
Yeah, well... why would anyone play with dolls?
Why would anyone play with you?
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 Why would anyone play with any of you?
Burger King's got The Simpsons. Come in, enjoy either delicious new mini muffins or golden fries. And for an extra $3.99, bring a Simpsons doll home. Hurry in, they won't be in town long.
We're gonna make you love us.
Wow, that's
I forgot that was a thing.
A really creepy tagline.
We're
going to make you love us.
was from Canada. But also, I remember that from the Alf dolls, too, that they had little...
Ah, those puppet Alf dolls.
They had $3.99, though, in like 1990. Yeah, that's pretty high.
Well, one of my earliest memories as a kid of collecting...
more than a Happy Meal. To date.
One of my earliest memories as a kid of collecting things was the Crayola Bears at Burger King. Mm-hmm. Like, this was when I was like 4 or 5 in Arkansas that... they were just these little teddy bears that were the color of a Crayola crayon.
The only reason I know what you're talking about is I subsisted off eBay through 1 year of college and threw Crayola bears that I found at garage sales. Like, didn't know they were worth any money.
Oh, yeah.
Bought them at a garage sale.
They were highly sought after.
These were like $20 a piece. Wow.
Burger King was early in getting the toy stuff. Though that ad with their golden fries, it's just... Burger King always had the worst fries, and in the 90s they tried to rebrand to like, we have better fries now. We got Mr. Potato Head to say our fries are better.
Did you hear that? They're also marketing their mini muffins.
Yeah, I do remember at some point. Yeah.
They're more like balls. They were like muffin balls.
And I still have my Homer and Bart dolls to this day.
I had them too, yeah.
I'm sorry I don't have any of the others. I would have loved to have the women, but my parents were A, not taking me here, B, not paying for
shit. Are you talking about the camping?
No, not the camping.
These were the felt dolls.
Oh, wow, okay.
Like 7-8-inch dolls.
Yeah, I think I had them all. I think I had them all.
That's insane. That's the biggest show I've ever heard coming from a fast food restaurant.
Well, you had to pay extra.
They're always in the $2.
Well, because they didn't have the kids club meal. That's not kids club meal. They had
we played that in Call the Simpsons. Mm-hmm. We played that because Bob brought them on for the show.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I want to get the rest of them. I look on eBay. They did not go up in value at all. They're still like just take them. I don't want them anymore.
Also,
now we're reminiscing about Talking Simpsons.
The Simpsons never left Burger King. Like
Oh yeah, even in the movie in 2007, it was all Burger King.
And they had a Halloween Treehouse of Horror line of toys for Burger King.
A couple of years in a row, I remember buying one of those.
And my favorite, the Burger King doll, has a great cameo in the movie Three Kings. You can see Bart Simpson strapped to the front of a Humvee.
Oh, yeah.
And that's because...
Oh, I just remembered something. I have that Bart doll. I didn't know it was from Burger King. Yeah. I bought it at a flea market like 10 years ago. Holy crap.
It was the only Bart doll of that size and nature that was available. I don't know of another one, but I'm sure... I hope one has existed.
Actually, on a...
At the time, there was nothing.
On a Futurama Season 1 episode, Bender eats the shorts off a Bart doll of that size and shape. Though it's a talking Bart doll who says, "Eat my shorts." And then Bender eats the shorts.
It's a pretty good looking Bart doll, though. I kept it. It's like, this is as on model as 3D Bart could be. Like,
I'm really, my buddy, my best friend, Shit Steve, he got a blowgun for Christmas because we're from Florida and white trash. And we used Homer as like dart gun. So his face is ruined. It looks like he has the worst acne.
Speaking of white trash, I think I bought that at the same table you could buy a KKK belt buckle. So welcome to Ohio.
Ohio.
Yeah.
So we got the American stuff out of the way. I wanted to represent other countries in places you didn't see things. And I do believe this is a Toyota commercial from some other international territory starring The Simpsons.
Let's shine a new car, boy.
Congratulations, Homer. You got yourself a dandy, deedly, doodly car.
Introducing the roomier, more powerful Toyota Corolla.
Pretty jealous, eh, Flanders?
Just a smidgely widgely.
Now with a standard driver's side airbag and more value than ever.
But you know, Homer, I kind of prefer my new car, eh?
Oh, yeah? What kind of car do you have?
Surprise, neighbor! I just bought a new Corolla wagon!
The all-new Corolla by Toyota. A welcome addition to any family.
It's weird to hear Flanders in an ad.
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard
shouting
that before.
Shouting out Corolla. Yeah. You can see it's early because Maggie is sucking all over that. Now, knowing that Harry Shearer hates doing anything, it's weird that he would do that.
He was not in the arcade game.
Not in the... recently not in the ride. Like, he refused to be in the ride.
That in the arcade game, the Smithers voice is, "Welcome to my world."
Oh, that ad, by the way, mixes live action and the cartoon years before Homer 3D would.
The car, if you hopefully, maybe you can see it. Maybe we have a YouTube video up, but the car is real, and the Simpsons are running around it in like off model. Out of character.
Is this post Brother Where Art Thou, where Homer built the car that no one likes? Like, why would you trust Homer for a car?
It has a 1990 copyright date. I've never seen it before.
Yeah, the other one is 91.
Seriously, if there was a Simpsons Toyota commercial in America, we would have fucking seen it. Because I was not doing anything but watching TV and loving The Simpsons.
And any commercial, like, commercials were the worst. And if any cartoon commercial, though, immediately had my attention. Same with... I mean, that was the era when you could have commercial mascots that kids just love, like the Energizer Bunny, the Noid.
Chester Cheetah. Basically, Kool-Aid Cool Man. Spot. Anyone who had a video game, they were the coolest
California
mascots.
Raisins. I'm trying to represent our foreign brothers. I found an Australian Pizza Hut commercial where they had Simpsons cups. And it is not remarkable to listen to. It is a first-person shot of somebody on a Bart-esque skateboard in real life. And it's not remarkable to listen to other than like this Australian trying his best to maintain an American accent.
Oh, I love when this happens.
I do love when that happens.
Hey, wow! You know what's happening right now at Pizza Hut, man? They're giving away one of these cool Simpsons cups free with every large Pepsi and pizza you scoff down. You can collect all four with the greatest family on tea. Yo, Homer! But you better hurry, man. Oh, this offer will be history. What?
That sounds...
Oh, so farewell the history.
It is the greatest pizza.
Yeah. That sounds like the kids in Heavy Rain. Like,
yeah.
Please now, buy me a pizza, Daddy.
Man, though, I miss... this is maybe just from listening to Doughboys too much, but I do miss a dine-in pizza.
Me too. I had so many good memories of like a nice Pizza Hut sit-down.
I collected the cups of Garfield. The Garfield cups.
A Nickelodeon magazine, a nice salad bar, and a pitcher of Coke. Never be happier.
One would be Pepsi.
And this isn't going to play well with sound, but I'm doing this for you hardcore fans who have been with us throughout the whole season, because this doesn't have any new clips of any kind. But this is, we had mentioned earlier that this like a certain episode of The Simpsons, I don't remember which, launched the same day as Sky Broadcasting. Sky Broadcasting, if you have cable in England, you have to be aware of it, because it's how you get a majority of your American content, first of all. But it's like they're advertising Sky, what they do, as in, like, we have... The Batman is in the clip.
As in the animated series?
Returns. Or? The movie. Wow. As in, like, you can see Batman Returns. There's news. There's sports. But it is bookended. It is hosted by The Simpsons. And, like, when you say, like... Over in England, they got the first three seasons at once. It was an instant phenomenon worldwide, and they got a shitload of episodes.
Well, and they, I still say that I think per capita, there are more Intuit Simpsons fans in England than there are in America.
Because they're better with numbers. Funny stuff. They like funnier. They like funny stuff. They just can't be as funny as Americans.
I think that's a misnomer. I think we just get their best stuff brought over here.
I won a wonderful argument on Games Radar back in the day, and like he's like, "What do you think Americans are even good at?" I'm like, "Comedy." I'm like, "Yeah, Americans are good at comedy." And like, "So you think you're good at comedy? What if I judge you on Coupling?" And like, I just, it was like the best British
are you
mic
being
drop.
Served?
Could have been like Benny Hill and just walked away.
Yeah, like I know your shit, dude. I grew up with PBS.
I've spent many summers in Ireland, like during the 90s. So I was very intimate with Sky, which we would always call America the Channel, because it would be like 6 p.m. The Simpsons, 7 p.m.
South Park and WWE and SmackDown. And
literally like the best of every single network.
It is like
in
the best of American television. Yeah.
I want that channel.
I did recently go to the UK and had to have the BBC hierarchy explain to me, like, this is what one means, this is what two. It's like, I don't
BBC
get it still.
Did you have any blood pudding?
If we want to be really dorky, and I don't want to hold anybody to this, like you could pinpoint where these clips are from, because they literally mat animation sequences, put them in front of a TV playing Sky, and it's all existing sound bites from episodes you've seen already, and it barely makes any sense. The opening of Sky, marketed with The Simpsons.
Only Sky brings you a full season of English and international cricket, so you can catch every run, every boundary, and every incident.
Throw me the ball. Whoa!
And live coverage of English and Scottish FA Cup football.
Man, this game is stupid.
Bart! And more on Sky Sports.
That shot is impossible.
Catch the news as it happens 24 hours a day on Sky News. And meet the Simpsons. Only on Sky One. And with a subscription of only $14.99 per month, turn your home into a cinema. Two great movie channels with a choice of up to 24 different films a day.
Eat my shorts.
Bart!
I'm out of here, man.
And for even more entertainment, you'll get special live events exclusive to Sky Movies Plus.
That's them marketing Pavarotti live with Bart, like, just making noises in the background.
I love in the post-streaming world, they're like, we have 24 movies, idiots. Yeah. Step
24
on up.
Movies it's so sad. It's so sad.
Trying to fit a baseball clip in with the cricket stuff, like, throw me the ball, Mr. Black. Yeah. So still
a really harsh cut, like...
I couldn't pinpoint one of the clips. Like, this show is stupid. Mm.
This show
that
is
sounds
stupid.
Like two combined words to make stupid.
Yeah,
we also had this, like, because like Fox was just growing as a channel, and they did I was watching a ton of it because they had the best animated shows. I was in love with The Simpsons. They had a bunch of reruns of other popular shows on Fox all day long, but you would have to endure all these like Fox propaganda 1 minute pieces because they had no commercials because no one was buying commercials from them.
Fox was like a junior network at first that just took over like UHF channels that were like, well, we'll give you 2 hours of original programming every night and just air us after all your local crap and syndicated things.
And this, like, it's this super fucking 90s, and you can see Keenan Ivory Wayans and Ed O'Neill from Married with Children, but The Simpsons takes a full showcase here.
Jump up, shout it! Drop what you're doing! It's all fun for you!
I'm on Fox!
Mark, get
your butt over here right now.
Go!
If you like it real, real as it can feel, tell them now.
It's fucking cop. They're talking about cops.
Yes. Yeah, like it real.
That's so funny because I remember the... I remember the Fox Kids lineup was also the It's on Fox line.
That's true. No, it's a variation on that. I love that commercial.
I don't know if you guys remember the show Rock on Fox.
I do. About a live, baby. About a garbage newspaper every day.
Oh, yeah. It eventually turned into a live show, but I remember a maybe minute-long promo with Rock and his dad, and Rock was watching The Simpsons, and his dad was mad that he was watching a show about a white family, and Rock had his way. It's like, no, Dad, this is a fun show. And it's like, I guess you're right. And it's like, they're just talking about this. It was so weird.
Were you united? Yo, Rock.
Yeah. Rock, yeah, I remember that show.
That was before the whole ER Live craze and Parks and Rec and everything. That was
and now Undateable Live has just been like it's just a live show all the time.
It was the first show I remember that did that, and that wraps up the commercial portion. And I don't want to run too long. Oh, my battery's about to go dead. But the Simpsons were all over award shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the best. These are the best extras on the DVD. The one is Interminable. So they were on two. There's two award show clips on the DVD on the fourth disc of season two. One is from the American Music Awards, which is like you won't watch the whole thing because it is Nancy Cartwright, poor pregnant Nancy Cartwright.
She's the only reason she looks so much like Bart is because she has the stomach because she has a baby in her.
And she is dressed up like Bart, put in a horrible Bart mask, and then she has to be like, oh, wow, man, I'm at the Music Awards, and I'm, like, here and stuff. And the clip I captured is...
Who is the woman she's with who does not want any of this shit?
I don't know.
KT something.
KT, but she is so pissed off to be next to Bart. Like, you can hear it in her voice in this clip.
Okay. Yo. Hi, KT.
Hi, Bart.
I'm the Bart man.
So you're BJ?
Man.
I'm KT.
Hey, fun has a middle name. It's Bartholomew J. Simpson.
Yes.
The audience loves it.
That's a real Orson Welles. Yes.
Yeah, if you have this season two DVD, you have to see that.
It lasts forever. And poor, they have a commentary on it too because poor Nancy Cartwright, like she actually lost her earpiece briefly. So in this stupid costume, she has to just vamp.
Yeah, and they're like, Bart really looks dead when he's not moving, doesn't he? Yeah, they have a lot of sympathy for
her. It's so cheap.
And I do too.
But then meanwhile, at the Emmys, they spent big, and they animated them presenting Best Actor in a Comedy Series on the Emmys that year.
I don't know. Is this on the DVD?
It's on the DVD in full.
It's the only time you can hear Lisa talking about Empty Nest.
Yes. here's some of the nominees that year.
Okay, here we go. Everybody calm down. Look, Mom, Harry.
Hamlin.
Oh, my. I don't know who that is.
Okay, the nominations for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Comedy Series are...
Bart Simpson.
Bart!
Ed Danson for Cheer.
Rickie Nelson for Coach.
Bart Simpson for the Bart Simpson Show.
I'm warning you.
It's your turn.
Ooh, what? Sorry. Where do I read? John Goodman for, Roseanne.
Homer's a fan.
That is a strong crop.
Because there's one clip of that on YouTube, and it is ravaged.
And then also the Empty Nest guy.
And Ted Danson won, in case you wanted.
It's really funny. Bart rips up the envelope, and then Lisa's like, we should just not give awards. Let's all admit that we're good, and we don't need these awards. And then they put it back together. And then Marge holds the envelope over her mouth to say it's Ted Danson, like the very the Denver Broncos.
But the animation is incredible in it.
It's so good.
I think it was just whoever directed it. It looked Silverman-y to me,
It was also... That year, guess which channel it aired on?
Fox.
It aired on
Fox. That's why
Fox is probably just thinking, like, we got the Emmys. Like, that is an arrival.
None of our shows are going to win.
It was a big deal for Fox every time when they, like, we finally got the World Series. We finally got the Super Bowl. We finally got the Oscars. Like, it was all that. It was those arrivals for Fox.
One thing I noticed about that Emmys clip is Homer strangles Bart, but he strangles him, like, slightly out of frame. So I think that was an intentional choice. Like, we can't have him strangling Bart on the Emmys. He can't do that.
And there's also a very experimental animation kind of thing, but it was more of a cover where Bart's eye just covers the camera.
Yeah, like a fisheye lens. It looks like one of the covers of the DVDs.
But it's so the characters can walk on stage without them having to do the harder animation of walking on stage.
And having to move the camera with the characters, too.
Yes, exactly. But it's amazing that they get it on there, because the Emmys, like, award shows don't normally give out their clips. Like, I think they probably, Fox had to spend good money to get those clips on there.
But I do remember, like, an Emmys or something, maybe an Oscars with, like, Woody from Toy Story or something coming up to the stage.
They've been on it many times. They just did it on the Oscars.
Oh, really? Okay.
Like, yeah, there's many... It's a strong tradition of having pre-animated bits. One, mm-hmm. I remember one from when the Oscars moved. Now this is sounding like Oscar time, mm-hmm. but when they did, the Oscars moved from the Shriner Auditorium to the Kodak one. It was Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, and Daffy didn't know they weren't in the Shriner Auditorium anymore.
So this is almost the conclusion of our commercial appearance portion. But what I really, really wanted to get into, and this is a really good way to do it, and there's no real good time to address this, and so I decided to put it here. It's George Bush talking about The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And this is available as a special feature on the Season 4 DVD, but it occurred during a rerun of Stark Raving Dad, our next episode.
In Season 3.
In Season 3, but in 1992.
But it was but it was kind of a response to stuff that started up this year.
I think it's James L. Brooks or like narrating, like Barbara Bush made an open letter about how The Simpsons are terrible, and then Marge responded openly, and then that was the end of it. And then George H.W. Bush said the Simpsons should be less like the...
America should be more like the Waltons and less like the Simpsons.
And one time, during a rerun of Stark Raving Dad, the show opened with a clip of a real live TV show and The Simpsons responding to it. And I believe it's on the Season 4 DVD.
I'm so glad you got this.
We are going to keep on trying to strengthen the American family, to make American families a lot more like the Waltons and a lot less like the Simpsons.
Huh? Hey, we're just like the Waltons. We're praying for an end to the Depression, too.
Ooh, man, take that.
Okay, in retrospect, after our most recent Depression, I'm like, yeah, the 90s were a bad time to have money and, like, you know, spend a lot of that.
Well, the early 90s, then, you know, the tech boom comes up. Like, it'll be money everywhere in the late 90s. It never stopped.
It is also a great time for news clips of The Simpsons and, like, hearing all these... did you not see Spotlight this year, which is, like, to me, a jerk piece over the way journalism used to be? When I watch these clips, it's like, this is some guy who wants to be a journalist with that khaki cargo vest on the front lines of Desert Storm, but being forced, like, we got to talk about The Simpsons. Somebody has to do The Simpsons piece. And this is a clip. It's really weird, and I don't know if it's clipped correctly. It's about Bart being put on a religious pamphlet and Fox suing them.
Whoa, I didn't hear about this.
Jesus. A couple of months ago, 9-year-old Benjamin came up with the idea of using Bart Simpson, the incorrigible star of Fox Television's The Simpsons, for an informational flyer. The flyer features Bart wearing a T-shirt that reads, Bart for Jesus. This pamphlet, which is distributed nationwide, attracted the attention of Fox officials. They sent a letter to Benjamin advising him to stop distributing the pamphlet by the 13th of November, or face a potential $100,000 lawsuit for copyright and trademark infringement. Benjamin responded to that letter by explaining he is only 9 years old and that it would take him nearly forever to pay that kind of money if a judge ordered him to, because he only receives a $2 a week allowance.
I think it was like they sent him a cease and desist. It would never have gone further than that, you know?
And you can find this officially on the Jews for Jesus YouTube channel.
Those guys.
Which I believe has a San Francisco affiliate. I've always wanted to talk to one of those assholes. I didn't mean to say assholes. No offense if you're religious.
Bart for Jesus.
Those Schmendricks.
A bunch of Schmendricks. But this is probably what you do remember. Bart was a controversial figure during that time. And I don't know, did you go to a school that banned Simpsons?
I could wear my underachiever and proud of it shirt to school, happily did.
We didn't formally ban them at our school, but I had the Cool Your Jets Man t-shirt with Bart and the skateboard. I think my mom got me that one on purpose because she knew that there was some kind of, like, you know, scandal happening, and she didn't want me getting kicked out of school.
I didn't have the guts to wear my Who the Hell Are You shirt. I did own that, but I didn't wear it to school. And I think I had the one of just the whole family where Bart's in it looking at the camera holding up his... slingshot,
that's the weirdest drawing of Bart.
I know
it everywhere too.
Simpsons head on always.
Yeah, first
weird,
person is like, really weird. Even though that's how all the action figures look, even the best ones. But this is about Bart Mania, which you've heard said a couple times in clips and by Bart himself, which I think was something they were trying to copyright and put on merchandise.
Spike-haired, bug-eyed Bart Simpson, age 10, is the show star and family brat. He is rude, mischievous, and often in hot water.
They sent a note from school.
What did you do this time, you little hoodlum? Whoop, get out of the way!
I didn't do it. Nobody saw me do it. There's no way they can prove anything.
This time, it is Bart's wise-cracking T-shirts that are in trouble. This one has been expelled from some schools for its profanity. Another, underachiever and proud of it, has been kicked out of classes from Orange, California to Fremont, Ohio, where Lutz Elementary School was the first to ban Bart.
Wow.
Stuffy motherfuckers. When I hope you feel so silly now.
It says hell.
When I hear about profanity, I'm guessing a lot of these kids had bootleg Bart shirts where Bart was fucking somebody or...
Yeah, fuck the Ayatollah in the ass.
Yeah, like Spring Break 90 and Bart's like naked holding beer or something.
Or Rasta Bart.
He's got a handful of bikini tops. Yeah.
I have to recommend the... I think it's a Tumblr or an Instagram, Bart, but Black
Facebook.
Bart. Black Bart. Check
Black
that
Bart's
out.
Black Bart's really good, too.
That one I do remember.
Around school, where tamer Simpson fashions are still allowed, reaction to the T-shirt tempest is mixed.
It's just a cartoon, and we won't act like Bart Simpson.
If you're an underachiever, you shouldn't be proud of it.
The Simpsons Network, Fox TV, will say only that Bart respects elementary school principals, even the ones who have nothing better to do than tell kids what to wear.
Don't have a cow, Dad.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Owned. Beautiful.
Perfect yeah. sound drop there, Network.
Perfect Simpsons writer thingy to do.
Yeah, that was a good response, too. But I had Simpsons sheets at this time, too. I'm trying to remember every Simpsons thing I had. I think, didn't they have Simpsons ice cream bars?
I don't remember them.
I think
Let me play the last of this clip.
All right.
And the Simpsons, even Bart, are not necessarily a bad influence on kids, according to some psychologists.
This is something that they can grab onto and identify with. If Bart's having problems and making it and doing okay, maybe I can make it and do all right, too.
JCPenney's, the biggest Simpson merchandiser, has decided not to reorder the shirts that some schools have banned. But with a variety of Simpson items selling at the rate of 1 million per week, educators can't keep Bart out of school.
Take that, educators.
That's funny.
And JCPenney, the leading t-shirt retailer. Oh.
I know that's true because JCPenney, I might have said this on an earlier Talking Simpsons, but they would have a huge display of Simpsons merchandise, and they would have a TV playing episodes. So my mom would be like buying bras or blouses or whatever, and I would just stand there and I would watch it. I remember seeing a No Disgrace
Like Home. Shop all you want, Mom.
Yeah, I'll just be here watching this episode I've seen 5 times.
But that is what the Universal ride is so appealing to me. Like, the line is going to be a 90-minute wait. Yeah. You have all uninterrupted Simpsons clips
with
no commercials, and you'll never see a repeat.
That are all about specific things, like
usually about theme parks or Krusty.
That's the last time I think JCPenney appeared in the news.
Unless it was like JCPenney in bankruptcy court right now.
They're still around, aren't they?
Yeah, I believe so. I haven't been to a mall in a while.
I wanted to save the thing for last that I had never heard of.
I
don't know how to present it because I've never heard
before. Before we get to that, do we want to name our best and worst episodes?
I'd like to do that.
Yeah. Because this is a thing to save for last.
I also want to bring up, so Simpsons Season 2, a lot of us have been watching it off of the DVD. I'm sure it was a good idea at the time. What was this, like 2001?
It came out August 6, 2002, 14 years ago.
Dave, back when animated menus was listed on the back of the box, like, you want these, right? Yeah, of course.
Interactive
we didn't have, like, cell phones that would be like, I'm bored with the thing on my TV, I have to look at this. The DVD menus take forever to start up because you've got to hit
the
action.
Worst.
Yeah.
Four spins. It's got to be four spins before it will finally start playing.
And you can do the same exact thing by just like moving the disc around on the spindles.
And even the next year, like overly long intros, but beautifully animated.
For the most part,
They spend a lot more on it. They were still taking it easy on the menus. Well, same with like even the episode selection menus are just... Yeah. I also, a minor gripe is when you want to hear the commentary, it's like, okay, commentary. Well, on this commentary, these people, like a word balloon pops up, like, just fucking play me the commentary.
I don't need this.
It's so antiquated. They'll tell me who they are.
And we did a show about the death of DVD and movies not on DVD, and a lot of that was prompted by our love. The Simpsons DVDs, even by like objective people like Entertainment Weekly, like, these are the best DVDs.
Yeah.
In 2001, they were miles ahead of every
DVD. They're
so
good. And like Granny would like apologize, like, sorry they're taking so long. but we do commentary on every one, sometimes multiple commentaries, and pack it with special features, and they're done. They're
Those
not
things
doing them
anymore. Are basically the oral history of The Simpsons. Yeah. Like, everybody talking about their experience at the time, almost everyone who worked on them, like just a wealth of information that I hope is recorded somewhere else someday.
I think we're cheating by having, like, if you don't know these exist and have access to them, like... It's where most of our information comes from.
And they've
from.
Added them to Simpsons World. Like, on you can't listen to them on FX.
That's so cool.
And, and they're making new ones for Simpsons World because they're not doing the DVDs or Blu-rays anymore.
I'm happy they keep doing that. I mean, Matt Groening is not on all of them anymore.
And I was shocked to find out, but it makes sense knowing the business world. But on later DVDs, the future showrunners, Oakley and Weinstein, they mentioned that, like, we love doing these and we better because we damn sure aren't getting paid.
They aren't
to do it. They're just doing it for the love of doing.
Conan even comes back to do them.
Yeah, though I also
it's
do
clearly
think,
live via satellite or Skype or something.
I do think them doing those. Well, that's when he was based in New York. But I do think them doing those commentaries at the time too inspired them to make the movie because I think it started by 2007. The movie was finished, but it got them back all the classic writers who would write on the movie.
Yeah, I think it made them not hate their professional experience with the show. Like, that was really fun, and we did something super important.
Jeff Martin is commentating on Streetcar. He's like, hey, this is fun. We should work together again on a movie for lots more money.
Is there any Lovitz commentary this season?
He's on Streetcar. He's on the Streetcar one.
He's always the best on those commentaries.
Yeah, for me, these commentaries were like my first addiction to podcasts, I guess. Like, I would put them on, and then I'd play a video game or something. I'd be like, I can just listen to these guys talk about The Simpsons, but I would listen to the first maybe 5-6 seasons like over and over again, those commentaries.
I had no television, and I moved to San Francisco in a duffel bag and would sort of bring things back in a bag from my house to California. And they were Simpsons DVDs, and it's like I exhausted watching them, and I just started watching the commentaries repeatedly.
I sold off a lot of DVDs when I moved to California in 2006, but not those.
Yeah, I'll keep them forever.
All right, well, so my favorite episode of the season, Bart gets hit by a car.
It's a good Burns episode.
It's a great Burns episode. It also has the introduction of Lionel Hutz and Dr. Nick Riviera and Judge Bork and Burns's lawyer. Yeah. All those people in the same one. It is so great. The last 2 minutes, as we talked about, are a little weak of a wrap-up. But other than that, the funniest episode of the season. Oh, and the devil. The introduction of the devil. The
devil's great.
The no spitting off the thing. It was the first Hartman episode. So great. And my worst episode, even though I don't hate it, is Bart's dog gets an F. It has some funny jokes, but it is like the loosest and just takes forever. Yeah. And it's just like, the dog's bad. All right, got to show me the dog's bad again. Like,
Hate Tracy Ullman, Doug.
And also, I do hate Tracy Ullman. No, I love Tracy Ullman more than anyone at this table.
I think that's true.
So you're just a gay man?
No, but I do love her ability to do show tunes.
It's unrelated.
And my quote of the season is from Lisa's Substitute, which is when she describes what psychosomatic means. Like, that means she's crazy. No, that means she's faking it. Actually, it's a little of both.
I like that.
That's just so clever. I really love
those
that
are good
one.
Choices. I'll go ahead with mine. My favorite episode is Principal Charming. That might seem like a weird choice, but I feel like mechanically, in terms of like what it takes to put a narrative together, it's the best told story of this season. And speaking personally, my favorite jokes are jokes about boring characters because they're the hardest to write. Like, how do you make something boring funny?
Yeah.
And you have Skinner, Patty, and Selma as the center of this episode, and I think it proved that The Simpsons could exist without The Simpsons. Like, you can tell these stories about, like, I mean, Patty and Selma are kind of Simpsons, but still.
Even at this point are canonically fuddy-duddies.
Yeah, exactly.
Lame people.
And my worst episode, along with Henry, is Bart's dog gets an F, for reasons we've talked about, but also Dog of Death exists in this season. It's a better dog episode, I think. It's the superior Santa's Little Helper episode.
It just erases your memory of this episode, because we talked about it on Bart's Dog Gets an F, that we remember jokes that we thought were in that, but it was Dog of Death.
I think maybe twice during that episode I call it Dog of Death, so I have that on the brain. So my favorite quotes are kind of weird. I have this one because it's my personal philosophy. It's at the end of Brush with Greatness. It's my personal philosophy for life. He's bad, but he'll die. So I like it. That's Miss Hoover. It's what I feel about horrible old men who do bad things.
Yeah. That episode posted the week Antonin Scalia died.
Oh, man. I didn't know it was that timely. So, yes, I believe that about him, too. And my second favorite quote of the show, if I can say this, is good night. It's one word, but it's...
Town?
It's stuck in my head forever, yeah. And I can't get it out.
Like, no one points out that John Lovitz has a Christopher Walken inflection on everything.
Yeah,
like,
I mean...
I never would have thought to pronounce that syllable that way. Good night!
I think Maurice LaMarche is officially John Lovitz's stand-in. He can do a great John Lovitz.
So my least favorite episode of the season, I've been open about this before, Treehouse of Horror.
What?
I really did not like
the Raven
yeah. when it aired, and I've grown a little bit with it, but
up.
Also,
ugh.
Like, it's mostly visual gags. It's just a retelling
of
the poem.
It's a cartoon!
Dave, I think you need to blow that space stuff off your
phone.
But
also, Bad Dream House, like, it's okay, but, like, it's not the... Not, it's one of the weaker ones. I mean, Hungrier the Damned, that's good, but like one third of a good episode does not make a good episode. But
it's getting contentious.
Ironically,
in here.
The other holiday really episode from this season is probably my favorite, Bart versus Thanksgiving.
Mm. That is really up there for me, too.
It's like they never really made another Thanksgiving episode because they didn't have to. It's the best Thanksgiving episode of any TV show I've ever watched. Mm. It just captures so many of my traditions, like the parade. And just, like, family coming over.
New York.
And, like, other little things, like things being on the roof of your house that you'll never get back.
Yeah.
Getting out the cranberry sauce to help your mom.
Dave, I said that about my experience that, like, I missed that recording and had to wait, like, I think 3 years to ever see that episode. So it's not beloved to me as everything else in the season.
Yeah. The only other Thanksgiving episode is the one where Homer is raped by a panda.
Yeah.
So that is the best Thanksgiving episode.
Oh,
yes.
And my quote of the season is Lisa saying, Mr. Burns, your campaign has the momentum of a runaway freight train. Why are you so popular?
That is one of the best episodes, too.
That's a great one, yeah. Nice choices.
Chris,
If it's not my least favorite, only to be like different from what you guys said for the most part, but there were two episodes I didn't thoroughly enjoy, and definitely Bart gets an F and Bart's dog episode, but War of the Simpsons. It is needlessly cruel, and I it's hard to... like. I don't think they do that to Homer now, like the ones at the bottom.
Yeah.
Like, that's so gross.
The comments agreed with us about Homer's redemption in that episode, so I feel we were right about it.
Yeah, it's not a very satisfying episode, and my favorite part about it is the yelling couple.
Yeah.
We the poppies!
And it's like obsession with fishing is also, like, out of nowhere. Like, you're just making up these little things to, like, put together an episode.
Like I said, I think he just becomes a standard sitcom dad in that episode.
The best episode is Lisa's Substitute, and it's also the best episode of the show ever.
It's my second choice.
It's fantastic. It's humanizing. It's glorious. It speaks. I don't know. It talks to people who strive to be more than mediocre. I don't know. There's a billion things to love in Lisa's Substitute. It speaks the ostracized and the. I really like
it. It is great.
Yeah.
And
Dustin Hoffman, there is no performance on The Simpsons Dustin Hoffman's Mr. Bertram.
Yeah, he goes from like just this like I don't know. There's so much range in his voice, and like I've never heard a guest as good as him on the show.
There's been no better acting on the show ever, and I don't know why this is the only time that happened, other than that James L. Brooks was still caring.
What's the line of the season for you, or your favorite, or a favorite line?
The one we can't figure out for Lisa's Substitute. That's the problem with being middle class.
Yeah.
Everybody who really needs you will abandon you for those who need it more.
Mm. That is a really great line. All right, I'll change mine to Lisa's Substitute.
That's my second choice.
Yeah, the Three-Eyed Fish one, Blinky, is a really good episode, though, too. But.
Oh, that's so good. That's the first one I taped, so it's the first one I watch every day until the next Simpsons episode. I know it very well.
I miss those days of just watching, I'll just watch this tape until the next
I watch Citizen Kane twice a year, so like that episode
that's
is
perfect.
Wonderful.
Well, that's it, then. I guess that's our DVD.
Well, we didn't do the super secret thing.
Oh, yes!
If you don't know about it, it's going to blow your goddamn mind. Now that I know why it was created, it's even better.
Yes.
I don't know anything about it.
Should we preface this or play it?
I have no idea what you're talking
about. Okay, should I talk about this?
I don't know. Talk about what we're about to preface.
Yes.
We're about to play something that was intended to, quote-unquote, air after Bart the Daredevil, but not really. I believe, we can't get an official statement on this, but it was recorded as an inside joke against Matt Groening, because my theory is I like Matt Groening, but I feel like he pushed back on a lot of things, and he was not a TV guy. And all these TV people are like, this dumb cartoonist hippie won't let us do what we want to do. And
just
he's
put the show to air, man.
Yeah.
Let's go to breakfast.
And Matt Groening hates talking dogs. He hates Nazi jokes. And so they basically made
He hates Hitler jokes.
So
who hates Hitler?
I mean, we should hate Hitler, but...
But he hates jokes about it.
Essentially, the writers put this together and the voice actors cooperated to sort of have a thing to pass around to make fun of Matt Groening. That's not on the record for anyone, but it's what's assumed. And if you listen to the commentaries on about what Matt Groening hates, you know this was made to make fun of him.
This is everything he hates. And this is when there was a clear division in the office of Sam Simon and Matt Groening. Mm-hmm. They both hate each other.
Yeah. And I will say the
writers are much more on Sam Simon's side, it sounds like.
The oral history published in, I think, 2009 is not good, but there's maybe a dozen stories that aren't anywhere else, and it's worth reading for that. And part of it is the Sam Simon-Matt Groening rivalry. Not rivalry, but dislike of each
other.
Because
it's not nice to talk about. It's not in the happy memories type thing. So.
This is called Nazis on Tap?
Exactly.
And now, a classic short from The Simpsons Archives, first released on October 16th, 1943.
Ah, very good. Excellent. Simpson!
Uh-oh. Rough day at the plant, Homer?
It sure was. But we all have to do our part for the war effort. I just wish my part wasn't so hard. You see, I have to install these top-secret bomb sites.
Excuse me, mein Herr. I couldn't help overhearing about this bomb site. Please, tell me more.
I don't know.
Ah, a stein of beer for mein fellow American.
Okay. You see, these bomb sites are for a full-scale invasion of Normandy that nobody knows about.
Taxi! Taxi!
I caramba, the Fuhrer!
Berlin driver, and goose step on it with...
God, Warkpot, thanks to you, the Nazis are on the run.
It's FDR.
And Homer, I hope you learned your lesson. You can talk to me, Homer. I'm the president. Prove it. We have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Ooh, sorry, President Roosevelt. Yes, I learned my lesson. Suspect everyone and trust no one.
Exactly.
Wait a minute. Who's that guy over there? Wait, come here. No. I got him.
No, Homer, that's Joseph Stalin, America's best friend.
Catching Hitler was neato. Next stop, Hirohito, I'm Bart Simpson, the wisecracking kid. Ha ha!
Wow.
The reason it sounds like garbage is because it was smuggled out by like a writer or animator. Like it was just passed around and copied from tape to tape because it's like I feel like the voice work is so rough and raw that it's like, did Harry Shearer and Dan Castellaneta go out for some beer or something and like just come back and have fun?
Yeah, but it doesn't have Julie Kavner or Ridley Smith.
It's just Dan, Nancy, and Harry.
Wow.
Yeah,
but it is. It is all these things that it's so cartoony, like that ending especially is that makes it a Looney Tunes or Popeye era from the World War II era.
You know me, you know how obsessed I am with World War II era cartoons.
They're great. Yeah. I need to get
the only
back
time
that
it was okay
Blu-ray.
To be racist.
Now they and that song at the end there, I could totally see Groening hating all of that.
I like the intentional bad jokes, like goose step on it.
Yeah, it's just that, that's as a writer you can appreciate that of like these are writers. Writing badly
to make a World War II propaganda cartoon with the Simpsons
to piss off Matt Groening apparently.
So was that like animated at all?
It was never animated. Okay. I don't think it was ever storyboarded or it got any further than a voice track
that's
and writing.
Lot, yeah, I mean storyboarding that's an expensive joke at that point. Story like
you
writing
can't keep
and,
a secret in the office.
Yes. Maybe like Dan and Harry and Nancy were there at like after hours or just hanging around doing voice work and like hey we wrote something funny to make fun of Matt Groening or just like this we might air this. I don't know what they told them. I want to ask somebody who worked on the show if that ever happens. That'd be the first thing I'd ask. Like, what is
Al
Nazis Jean, on Tap?
I think Al Jean would be the most reachable. Like, so what was Nazis on Tap? Or actually, the one I would pick would be like Kogan or Wolodarski because they've been in interviews. Like, well, I think it was Kogan in that Conan O'Brien interview with Gene and Reese. He was the one who said, "Oh yeah," and Tracy Ullman threatened to sue us. Or did sue us. And then Al Jean was like, I'm not touching that one. Like, he was ready to talk about the bad thing.
Yeah, he's still the ambassador for the show. So
yeah, Al Jean
be
has got to
nice.
Be like, I'm still employed by Fox. Yeah.
I make my money here.
Yeah.
But what an amazing, like, weird piece of history.
I had never heard of this until now. But yeah, always on the commentary, every time a Hitler joke pops up, you can hear grinning grumble.
Yeah, like the Hitler head in the Duff beer bottle. Yeah.
Or that, like, Dave Merkin would be like, what? It's funny. Oh, it's like, Hitler.
You said Matt Groening hates Hitler. Like, well, we're all supposed to hate Hitler. So he, like, hates references to him in the cartoon.
He hates light of Hitler.
He hates Hitler jokes and, like, Nazi jokes.
They are notoriously easy, which is why I make them constantly. Mm.
It is pretty easy.
I think Mr. Show at some point was like, no more gay jokes, no more Hitler jokes. Like,
it, so there was a thing on the wall, no Hitler jokes. We're going to do the Hitler sketch, which is great.
I think every sketch comedy kind of just starts with a Hitler joke. Hitler sketch, yeah. That's a great sketch. I love that sketch.
That is the ultimate Hitler sketch. There should be no more Hitler jokes.
You just joined
that.
Talking Mr. Show. No,
Lazy Man's Wallpaper.
Lazy Man's Wallpaper.
Easy for him, his died.
But season two, it's when they really got into it. When we got to production season three with the episode Mr. Lisa Goes to Washington, it is, you can tell, they took a big jump in the break.
Yeah, that time off really motivated them to do weirder stuff.
But they really figured out what The Simpsons was, though, this season.
And we did miss the release of Simpsons Sing the Blues, but you guys did a whole episode
about that.
I've listened to that so many times, it's great.
it's one of our best episodes.
It's funny, yeah. It's, and like,
we did that, and in the same episode we uncover the Yellow Album.
We did both of them, yeah.
Yes, and I can't believe that was released because it's trash. They pitch shifted everybody for no reason. Yeah, they sound like the Chipmunks.
The Simpsons Sing the Blues was my second CD ever, and I already owned the tape. Mm-hmm. But it was when I gotta buy CDs. I'm gonna rebuy this.
That was my sister's first tape, and by virtue of that, my first tape.
Yeah,
because
I have it all memorized, and we did a whole episode like, let's just listen to this for as long as we can without tapping out. And then we uncovered, 1 year later, they made another Simpsons Sing the Blues album.
Because Simpsons Sing the Blues was a huge seller.
And it was
that is them go Caribbean or whatever.
And the writers dug in like, this does not reflect well on what the show is. We know who we are. We think we can do this for a while. Please don't release this. And they released it anyway, like
7 years
later.
Yeah. Way later.
When that sound of 92 was as dated as it could get.
Yeah,
you know?
But before it was funny. Like, when it was just embarrassing, they released it.
And
you've never heard it before. And you can hear it at LaserTimePodcast.com. And click the LaserTime banner.
Everybody.
And you can, I don't know, just look up Simpsons Sing the Bless. B-L-E-H.
That's a very Mad Magazine title. I'm proud of you.
I love Mad Magazine.
So I want to thank all the Patreons so much for making this show a possibility. Mm-hmm. It's next to Retronauts. It's the favorite thing I do. I love watching the shows again.
Thank you, Bob.
Behind the scenes, Bob is not directly benefiting from the Patreon in any way. If you didn't know that, he is here usually because he wants to be here.
Yeah, I like hanging out with you guys, and I love talking about The Simpsons. And just like, I ran into an old friend of mine, and she listens to the show, and she was like, you sound very intense on that show. I'm like, you have to understand, this information is in my brain. It needs to get out. This is the only way it can get out. And she's like, okay, yeah, I know. It's okay, Bob.
It's like only being able to pee like a few hours a week.
Yeah. So I'm glad you guys are supporting me because like if I didn't get to talk about this stuff, I would go insane because no one but you would listen to it. I could just rant to like a lamppost on the street like anyone else in San Francisco. But I choose to talk into a microphone.
That's my only plug is for Bob and whatever Bob is doing.
Oh, yeah,
Bob Servo on Twitter.
Listen to Retronauts. You know who I am, but I appreciate all of your support. I love you guys brought this show to life. And please follow me, listen to my shows, and keep listening to our show because I feel like this show is only going to get better as The Simpsons gets better. Yeah.
Season 3 onward to it. I cannot wait to watch season 3.
I'm very concerned about 4 and 5. Oh, good.
We're going to be looking at 2-hour podcasts.
Infotainment.